Afternoon. Welcome back. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Wayne Allen Root, former vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. He writes for RootForAmerica.com, and he's got a great piece in today's Washington Times. George Costanza for president?
Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
You know, I am a longtime fan of Seinfeld, and I do have a piece in today's Washington Times about the, I call it the Seinfeld plan to save America, but the Washington Times retitled it kind of the George Costanza plan. And you never argue with editors, so that's okay. Either one's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of Seinfeld. I used to watch it. Must have been 15 years ago. And I still remember one of the greatest episodes ever was about the fact that George Costanza, who was the, you know, the world's biggest loser on that series, and pretty much the entire Seinfeld series was about his friendship with Jerry Seinfeld and what a loser he was. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he became a winner. And the reason was, he started realizing, because I'm a loser, let me just do the opposite of everything I've ever decided to do. So instead of reaching for a, you know, pastrami sandwich, let me reach for some cod liver oil. Instead of reaching for a terrible job, let me reach for a good one. Let me do everything the opposite of anything I've ever decided in my life. So all of a sudden, the light bulb went off in my mind, and I said, my gosh, we have a president who's George Costanza. He's a loser. Everything he does backfires on the American people. He's killing all of our children and grandchildren's financial futures with the debt he's piling up and all the horrible decisions he's making. Let's just do the opposite. Every liberal out there keeps asking, hey, Wayne, or hey, Sean Hannity, or hey, Glenn Beck, you complain a lot, you criticize a lot, but what's your solution? So I suddenly realized we could give them all a really simple solution. It's the Seinfeld solution. Just do the opposite of the world's biggest loser, Barack Obama.
All right, now, that indicates that Obama has had failures. Do you have any examples?
That's a funny question, isn't it? Well, first of all, I would say, you know, his almost trillion-dollar stimulus is about 860-odd billion dollars, so just under a trillion, was one of the biggest failures of all time. I would say that, and by the way, since the date the stimulus started, we have about 2 million less jobs in the United States of America. It's material for, you know, Jay Leno. It's so funny, except it's so sad and so tragic for people who don't have their jobs. You know, we spent money in order to save jobs, and instead we lost 2 million jobs, and they can't prove that a single job was even saved. But I would argue that if jobs were saved, Andy, with the stimulus, they were all government employees' jobs that were saved, while we eliminated the only ones that actually are positive for the economy, private sector jobs. When you take money away from tax payers, private sector is starved for money. They therefore retrench. You lose jobs that someone makes 100 grand in the private sector. They pay you taxes on it. They buy a house. They pay property taxes. They buy things. They pay sales taxes. But when you save a government employee's job, guess where the money to pay the government employee comes from? The taxpayers. So actually, you've created a $100,000 job that actually loses money. All of it has to come from the taxpayers, and government employees don't actually make anything. I know. Some of them are heroes. Some of them are policemen. Some are firemen. They're heroes. But they don't actually produce profits for the taxpayer or the government. They simply eat up revenues. Then they retire. Like, as an example, you know what the lead story was in Vegas today? The Republicans, you know I don't play favorites, the Republican district attorney of Clark County, Nevada, announced his retirement a couple days ago. He makes $200,000 a year, and he will now retire. He's about 50 years old, and for the rest of his life, he'll collect a pension of about $150,000.
Wow.
Now, Andy, if you want to know why America's bankrupt, it isn't that he's not a nice man. It isn't that I don't politically probably agree with him on most things. He's a Republican. I'm a conservative libertarian. It isn't that he isn't an educated man. He's a lawyer to be a district attorney. But can we afford as a nation to pay anyone $150,000 a year for the rest of their lives? So Obama's entire philosophy is about emulating Europe, hiring more government employees, letting them retire at age 50, giving them gigantic pensions, and how about this one? Free health care for life. Has Obama made any mistakes? Everything's one big giant mistake that's bankrupting and making America insolvent for generations to come.
All right. Now, using the Seinfeld logic that you've described,
yes,
we should eliminate the IRS, the Fed, the number of bloated government jobs, and the list goes on and on.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, a lot of times people say to me, Wayne, what would you like to see, and what's the reality of what we're going to get? I'd like to have no taxes in a wonderful, ideal world, but in the real world, that's not possible. But maybe we could cut taxes. Maybe we could reform the tax system and create a flat tax modeled after the Hong Kong system with zero millions, that's not zero taxes. That's everybody paying a fair flat tax. So that's an example. In the real world, you know, you have to have real solutions. In the dream world, I'd like to get rid of the IRS and never again have the IRS around. But in the world I live in, the real world, perhaps what we could do that's a compromise to Obama's crazy idea of adding 18,000 IRS agents is simply leave the IRS right where it is. Don't increase funding. Maybe look for ways, cut a little bit. Certainly don't add 18,000 agents who are all going to make $50,000 to $100,000 a year for the next 20 years, then retire and charge us $100,000 a year in retirement and free health care for life. So again, my answers aren't radical or extreme. The Tea Party's not radical or extreme. There's things we'd like, and then there's the compromise we're willing to cut to save America and protect our children and grandchildren's future. Obama, the media won't point out because they're so liberal and they all went to schools like Columbia with me. The media refuses to point out if you think the Tea Party's extreme and you lined up their views with Barack Obama, he'd be the opposite extreme. I don't think, by the way, anything the Tea Party believes in is extreme. I don't think balanced budgets are extreme. I don't think letting people keep more of their own money is extreme. I don't think stopping handouts to such a degree we're bankrupting the country is extreme. But if you want to call those extreme, put them on the right side of a line, then way to the left, past left extreme, would be everything Obama believes in. Why is no one pointing out how extreme the views of Obama and Occupy Wall Street are if they're going to try and paint the Tea Party as extreme right? Obama must be extreme left. I say the answer is do the opposite, and then if you have to, compromise a little bit towards the middle.
Yeah. I also like the idea that you think that maybe we ought to treat our allies with a little more respect and not give our enemies the time of day.
Yeah, well, here's the, you know, the ones that have nothing to do with money that really ended my commentary in the Times today. One is that Obama's treated friends like Israel very harshly, very rudely, at times extremely offensively, and turned off our friends. And he's treated the evil rulers that support terrorism, like Iran, North Korea, Syria, Cuba, Venezuela, with kid gloves. He's tried to make friends with them. He's bowed down to some of them in Arab countries. And instead, I think we should treat our friends with respect and not give our enemies the time of day. We should do what we should have done for decades now, by the way, Andy, is we shouldn't just eliminate all foreign aid, although, again, that's maybe what I would like to do. But in the real world, you eliminate foreign aid to the despots and the adversaries of America and the people that support terrorism, and you don't eliminate it to your best friends, like in Israel. You're good to your friends, and you're bad to your enemies. That's what you do in the real world. That's the opposite of the Obama policy. And then the very last thing I mentioned is that Obama's good buddies, like Pelosi and Reid and Charlie Rangel and Dodd and Barney Frank, well, instead of being pals with them, maybe we should support term limits and throw all the bums out on their bums. Every one of them in Washington should be cleaned out, and I'm saying that to show you how fair I am. Even the long-term Republicans should be cleaned out. Term limits are a disinfectant on the system. People like Obama, they like it when a politician's been around forever and he's cozy with everyone, slaps each other on the back. Bush liked it too. They all spend us into oblivion as they do favors for their buddy, and they horse trade. You give me $10 million on this, I'll give you $1 billion on that. And that's not what makes America go, in my opinion. That's what's ruined our entire economy. It's led to massive levels of debt, and by the end of Obama's term, more debt in the first 4 years than all the other presidents combined, if it keeps going at the current pace. So there's no question in my mind, we need term limits above all else, so we disinfect, get rid of the people that are corrupted by the system, and every few years get in new, fresh blood with fresh ideas who are closer to the people that elected them, because they haven't been away in Washington for 30 years. Harry Reid, he's from Searchlight, Nevada, Andy. He's like an old town, little town boy who grew up in Nevada. Everyone loves him. But you realize he's lived in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. for the last 20 years. He's from Searchlight like I am from Dubuque, Iowa. Come on. This is a joke. We got to get him back to Searchlight. We got to make these people retire.
Always great to talk to you. You have a great day. It's called George Costanza for President by Wayne Allen Root. See you, Wayne.
Hey, thanks, Andy. Don't forget the website, Root for America, and the book, The Conscience of a Libertarian. Have a great day.
All right, Wayne. Thank you.